Wow, chimes. I hear chimes. I love the sound of the chimes. Listen to those puppies. I use those a lot in my music. Those are live chimes. Some of Randy Masters would put some chimes like this out. Anyway, welcome to Dr. Fred Bell's Health, Science, and Energy Show. August 4th. This is the month of the big kitty. Anyway, tonight's show is going to be one of my really exciting lectures that I did a few years ago. And we're looking forward to have you listen. It was great having Steve Barish on earlier tonight. He's amazing, as usual. And he's got his own show now, as you know. I think it's about 3 o'clock Saturday, so we'll get a lot of Dr. Fred and Steve here. So anyhow, I want to move into the room, and we're going to go ahead and start the deal. Let's hear Dr. Bell. Are you there, Dr. Bell? Hello, Dr. Bell.
So how's everybody enjoying our little show this weekend?
I'm enjoying the heck out of it.
How many of you guys were at the UFO panel this morning?
I was there.
A good portion. Good. It helps me to structure my talk because I really today don't really care to go in detail about the secret government and starting in 1947 and how all these things started. I'd like to today more or less talk about what's happening now. And a lot of you have seen me speak over the years, and a lot of you have seen and heard things that I've said. I've got a tape series that's out there at our booth that we did back in 1991.
That tape series is on PBSRadio.com, and they archives save you $200-$300.
On the video, we not only talked about the crop circles, but we actually videotaped one being made by the beings that make the crop circle. The 18 hours of audio, in that, in the first 3 hours, I go into the political conspiracies of what would take place in the future up until 1995 and beyond. And interestingly enough, I'm not much of a prophet, but I was told by some very wise elders in the different ET races a lot of interesting things, especially Liara from the Andromeda Galaxy, when I became a contactee of hers in 1989. Told me an awful lot about the political things that were going on and how the political picture would take place. Some of the things that were brought up then were the fact that FEMA, which we had a person on our group today from FEMA, what FEMA was really about, the Federal Emergency Management Group.
We have a FEMA guest coming.
They're
too,
not a disaster
upper
control.
Management.
They're here for martial law. Martial law hasn't been declared yet, but it's been set in place. One of the things of the Iraqi war was to establish the fact that nuclear terrorists were going to become an up-and-coming threat. And once again, when martial law would be declared, it would be over that issue taking place in a major city. This hasn't been done yet because there hasn't been enough resistance to this kind of a movement that we have here. There hasn't been enough power reached to the general public from speakers on these platforms yet where it causes real harm. So that has not come about yet, but it will come about. Some of you probably know that Bill Cooper has been up on, he produced a book called Behold a Pale Horse, and he's been on satellite TV. He was arrested. He was hauled out of his house for no reason at all. No charges were filed. But this is some of the beginning of the unrest of some of the things that happened.
Since then, he was murdered after that.
As I said earlier, before when Clinton was coming in, he had some good ideas, but he's dealing with a power that's out of his hands. I also, in the past, have talked about the drug running from George Bush when he was president of Zapata Oil and bringing in derricks, landing cocaine in derricks. It all starts. I talked about the Contra hearings. I talked about the cocaine and where it really came from and what it was about. And the United States, of course, was guilty of bringing 1% of the cocaine in. This all started to come up in public hearings in the newspaper in Virginia, especially when Oliver North was running for senator. Some of the ex-DEA chiefs, one of them, challenged him to a public debate because he was very insulted during his empowerment as the head of the DEA of being not allowed to stop this cocaine smuggling that was being brought into Arkansas. In the past, I've talked about the destruction of the immune system, the cover-up of the what the ozone layer is really doing to our bodies, about radiation and how it affects us. These are the subjects that I've covered in the past. And if you go back and study what Fred Bell has said and others have said, you'll find a pretty good understanding of what's going on now. But now what I'm seeing is that, especially from the UFO panel this morning, I found it not very interesting. In fact, it was very repetitive. That's why I didn't say much today, because I didn't feel there was much for me to say. I found it very repetitive, and I found the UFO panel this morning to be very similar to what the UFO panels have been all along. I mean, I love a little showmanship from Sean and everybody, but we're missing the issue here about what's really going on. The other thing is, this is getting too externalized. This whole scenario of the extraterrestrials being exposed, the intervention by the aliens, the Andromedans, the quakes, all of this is being taken out of character, because what I find here in this group, in the Whole Life Expo and around the country, is that people are not really understanding what's really going on, and they're not really relating to it other than on a verbal, slightly emotional level. It's not really touching spirit yet, and it needs to do that. Okay? The Andromedans have pointed this out, and this is why I'm saying what I'm saying. It's not my personal opinion. It's one that's been brought to me. And that's why I brought up my track record to see. As far as alien exposure, at the last show in Las Vegas, I had with me some artifacts that were delivered from a person in the Central Intelligence Agency, and I was only allowed to show two people at the show. One of them was Tricia McCallum. Actual pieces of a crashed gray spaceship. Now, if the CIA is bringing out these parts and bringing them to certain people in the show and showing them, I think the Project Awareness is well on its way, and they've got great concern. I wouldn't be holding a photograph. I could only bring a photograph. I was only allowed to have these objects for a few hours. They can be found at Area 51 inside the propulsion system of a ship. So I don't think that's really the issue. I think really the issue is to understand on a vibratory level what is really going on in our lives today, and how to do something about it, and how to deal with it. Also, I was real interesting to find when a question was raised about the origin of the Great Pyramid. And I could see that there was no logical understanding of anyone on our panel that really understood where it came from and what it's all about. In order to delve into something as traditional and as historical, it's not something that has to be channeled. If you go into the Egyptian Book of the Dead and the Tibetan Book of the Dead, and some of the old manuscripts that are written in Sanskrit that go back over 28,000 years, then you can stand up with some authority and begin to understand and espouse where the pyramid came from. And also, what seems to be missing from all of these scenarios are what I call celestial mechanics. Celestial mechanics we're talking about by Sri Yukteswar in the whole Yogananda trip when he talked about his holy science. These are not things that are alien. And for credibility, you'll find that Sanskrit is a phonical language very much like the Shinto was to the Japanese, and their language is based on phonics and sounds of nature. And when you start studying sounds of nature and you look into the Pleiadian language, which has also been channeled by some people, you'll begin to see similarities between Sanskrit and the Pleiades. Language is something, and nature is something that's very universal and seems to be left out in all of these conventions. One of the things that I learned and I cover this a lot in my seminars, and I've covered it in my books and my talks, one of the big things that's been left out by people channeling, talking, and communicating with Pleiadians is what the Pleiadians do and what they believe in their spare time and what their whole system is built upon. How many of you know what the big pastime of a Pleiadian would be? The ones that come from where Semyasi comes from, Taigata and the planet Era. Does anybody really know? They're into nature. That's why they live so long. And they talk about nature spirits and angels and sylphs and salamanders and the same thing that the rishis talked about and taught the Brahmins centuries ago. These are things that are coming to vibratory levels that are coming into play in this time. Our solar system is moving like a part of a gear in a clock system. Our solar system is moving in a divine equinox of a precession around Alcyone, the central star, and the Pleiades. Every 25,827.5 years, we go one time around this giant star as part of that system going around some other system. And every time we go around this, every 25,000 years, 1 inch has always been defined at the base of the pyramid. In other words, you could take the pyramid and put the limestone back on it, and you would find the same number of inches to go around the whole circumference of the bottom of the pyramid as you was as the precession of the equinox. If you were to take those timetables into context and bring them down to terrestrial levels, you'll find that the inch, the American inch, is close to the real inch. You'll find the metric system is based on greed. It doesn't have anything to do with any divine measurement or celestial measurement. And you'll see immediate split in our society and how it tries to control things and how things really are. And these are the areas, the grassroots, that we have to go back to if we want to get a theological and physical understanding of the universe and what's going on. As we rotate around the Pleiades, we have vibratory changes that are broken into 12 different sets of vibrations 2 times. Each time we have these vibratory changes, we have changes in the level of consciousness of the incarnating people that come to this world, meaning the soul vibratory frequency is different. Souls, when they vibrate in and out of physical form, go to places. They don't go to some nebulous heaven world. They go to places. In Pleiadian science, they teach us where they go. They teach us about how our fingerprints define not only characterization and identification on this planet, but the source of those fingerprints being the identity of the soul, as the Dalai Lama is identified when he is reincarnated by his monks from a temple, so is the Pleiadian identified when they are reincarnated in their group, too, from past biological families. It's not forced on them, that knowledge, but it's there, and they eventually gravitate to it during your first 120 years of education. These are things that we need to understand and know here. Secondly, we're coming from an age of the Piscean Age. The Piscean Age was structured spiritually by people that carnated in and out of the ring paths, not of the earth and the moon, meaning the astral planes and the higher planes of existence, or higher vibrations, more finite. And you don't think that the physical plane is not just as high as the astral or the mental plane. There's just as much conflict there, more subtly, than there is here. There's no difference between committing suicide, running away from here doesn't create any kind of a solution. It only creates a greater problem the next time you come back to finish up this karma, for example. So we came from the Piscean Age. The Piscean Age was a level of soul in this ring path knot that vibrated to the I believe. And because of belief, we had the structure belief, and the belief system were such that religion formed. Now we come to the next shift. And the next shift is we're coming into the Aquarian Age. In the Aquarian Age, we have two kinds of things happening here that have to be looked at directly on Earth before we even deal with extraterrestrials. The Aquarian Age, we have a soul that's being born here now that was a Piscean soul that's never lived beyond the parameters of this Earth and its local solar system, that's believing in a higher form of nature and God and is struggling to understand itself. At the same time, the vibratory frequency of the Aquarian Age is sanctifying another level of soul that comes here, that is born here, that has been in outer space, has been a Jonathan Livingston Seagull, and has traveled the great vast distances of space and time and brings back the wisdom. That's the first foray of a stage that we're set with now. Secondly, heaven and hell, they are here now. If you start to think about how this planet behaves, for example, we talk about going into the emotion. How many of you heard of the expression the photon belt? Okay, we're moving into the photon belt. How many of you really understand what that means? First of all, how many of you know what a photon is? Okay, what is it? Okay, where does light live? Where does light come from? Does anybody know? Doesn't come from here. It comes from somewhere else. No. Nope. Sun is illuminated by photons. Where does that energy come that makes it luminescent? That gives us a perception and a mind to see an illuminated thing and to see each other in this illusion. Where does that come from? No, it comes from the astral plane, the very next plane that we're going to. And science, hardcore science, calls a particle an omegon. As a matter of fact, color comes from the astral plane. We're moving into that plane now, but not without a lot of side effects. Secondly, people thought, it's getting easier. It is getting easier now to see denizens of that plane here, i.e. haunted houses, paranormal phenomenon. But what about King Arthur's time? What about when you went across the lake at Lake Avalon in a boat? And in one state of mind, you ended up at a Benedictine monkery? Or in the same state, a different state of mind, you ended up in a village of white witches and you crossed the same lake. What about that? That was hundreds of years ago. What happened there? What was the difference between that astral transition and what we're going through now? Okay? Second thing you need to pose amongst yourselves is this. Back, let's say this is 1776, and we're going through a revolution. The Indians are here now. The whole world, we look at the whole planetary situation of the entire world. How many people are living on the entire planet in 1776? A hell of a lot less than are here now, right? Now, do you think that souls, if there was, say, less than a billion people, and we've probably got 9 billion people here now, where were the other 8 billion people in 1776? Did you ever think about that? Okay. You begin to understand now what's going on. The other souls weren't here then because they were somewhere else in a space that was not ready for the physical plane incarnation. A lot of these souls weren't in a very good place. Why? Because we were coming from the last aspect of the dark side of the revolution. You know, we have a new moon and we have a full moon. We're in a new moon cycle now. In the new moon cycle now, the hard-driving hormones like serotonin are at a low. That means the crime rate is down right now. The consciousness is higher, and the people that live on pure emotion are more stable. When we go into the full moon, things change. Tides change. Body is 90% water. Surface tension changes. And we go into a vibration where anger becomes very obvious and very uncontrollable in the unenlightened being. The same is true in societies, in world societies, as they rotate around the Pleiades. We're coming from a period of 12,000 years of darkness, and we're coming into the light age, 12,000 years of light. And so what did we have in the last period of power in darkness? We had the Great Inquisition, didn't we, all through Europe. We had people being killed for no reason at all, because what was living in the Inquisition? Hell. Hell was a great incarnation on the physical face of Europe. And people ran from hell and came over here, and the only sacredity was the Indians at the time, and they just ran over the Indians like steamrollers. Finally, as the Aquarian Age began to come, some higher souls came in and began to do something for the Indians now in the 20th and 21st century. It sure as hell wasn't happening 150, 200 years ago. The Indians were just put away. So we have this thing going on here that kind of makes the water a little bit dirty and a little bit hard to understand when we start talking about the real involvement of the secret government, when we start talking about the real involvement of extraterrestrials. And extraterrestrials, the Pleiadians and the Andromedans know full well what's going on. Second thing now, not knowing what this is all about, the second thing is now we are coming into a form of compression. We've got all of these billions of souls that basically have them came from hell, that's why we have so many wars, living in a physical vibration, and their personal auras, for example, aura fields, we together in here are starting to blend our auras as we sit in this room, and some of us will have to leave, as a few have done, because they're not ready for this confrontation of unity at this vibratory level. Others are outside will come in. I mean, this is what's going on. This is a stabilization going on a higher level. But this stabilization process is reality. And this going and gathering of souls is in our constitution. It's challenged quite a bit, the freedom to be together. That was one of the things that you weren't allowed to do in Europe. This energy is moving back and forth. It's also creating a strong compression, a very strong compression. When the compression starts, what happens in a compression? In a normal situation without it, you could be a small, depopulated world, and more of the souls are on the astral plane dealing with their dharma, past karma, and you're on the physical world, and you can go and you can move around with your energies, and you can have your little colony like the Mormons did, and then you can have your colony like the Mormons did within a society that's not ready for that consciousness, and you can push the Mormons away, or you can burn them up. You can do things, and there's still space to gravitate to. Today, you can't do that anymore. So what happens is the intensity of the souls is building. Like we go to Arkansas all the time, for example, and we mine quartz, lots and lots of quartz. I lived in Arkansas off and on part of my life. They never had robberies in backwoods Arkansas. Now they have gang problems. You know, Little Rock is the highest crime rate today in the whole of all the nations. I mean, everywhere you go, it's that. You follow me? It's all around, this energy. Now, on top of that, we've got the government doing their best with their depopulation to such a degree with the immune system coming down like they are that they have produced. I talked about AIDS in 1991. I told you that it was introduced in 1978. Now how about E. coli and B. coli, the things that are out now? And what are they doing to our immune system? They're changing us around very rapidly. So we have to get strength within our own immune system. And strangely enough, your euphoria, your creativity, all of that comes from the immune system when you understand how the body works on a vibratory level. So we have to treat all of this with vibration. The only way to be strong and to see through all this is to understand the vibratory frequencies of the body. That is what the Pleiadians have been teaching us. That is what the Andromedans have been teaching us. Second thing is called divine intervention. It started back in about 1989 with the Andromedans doing certain things. Now, how many, I'd like to hear a couple of comments. What do you people think divine intervention entails? In other words, if I said in 1989, Andromedans came here and did something with divine intervention, what does that mean? Can I get a couple of hands and a couple of statements? Yeah.
Yes, what can I do to get the UFO, to know when the UFO is coming?
Well, that's not my question right now. Somebody know? Yeah. What do you have to say?
Yeah.
Wait. Let her talk. Yeah. You're in the back. You raised your hand. What do you think divine, what is it to you? That's happening already. That's as we go around the Pleiades, there are certain frequencies, like it's like a, time is like a spiral. As we go around, the consciousness is in the dense level, the physical plane, i.e. we have cavemen running around, okay? 5,000 years ago we had cavemen. Now we're coming up into a higher vibration and consciousness is unifying and we're starting to have a stellar input from other beings. That's natural for the time. That's not divine intervention. Okay, yeah. No. That's an interesting point because earthquakes are created by solar wind. Wind is created by man's emotions playing into the earth's aura. Yeah.
Yeah, what can I do to get rid of this?
No, hang on a second. Yeah, go ahead. You have
becoming aware that we were never supposed to be meeting from the very beginning?
No, not that. Meeting is not a blessed thing, but it's a thing of the form. Okay, go ahead.
Divine intervention. Is that something like infinite intelligence actually connecting all of us together on a spiritual level?
That's not intervention. That is part of a solution to it. Go ahead.
When we are in a certain timeline creating certain possible futures, there may have been possible disasters for certain planets or people for life, and there therefore was an overseer grouping that came down and interfered with that timeline.
Now she's coming up with some close stuff. How many have, now let's get real grassroots. What is the big thing in the O.J. Simpson case? Three words, three letters. No.
DNA.
No, DNA. Okay, what was Fred Bell talking about in his tape series in 1991? DNA and the holographic imprint, not only of your DNA. What was the thing the other night in that movie that Trisha brought up about the asteroids coming to the Earth? What was the big thing in the very end? Does anybody know what that was about? The very conclusion of that movie was on Friday night. What was it? There was a big film showing where that people thought it was an actual disaster occurring where asteroids were coming. Okay? What did we put as a sign when we sent a space probe off into deep space? What was the things we put on there? We put a world with a pyramid on the top, right? And something below it. The imprints were DNA. In the end of that movie, the asteroids were coming in a DNA pattern. Okay? DNA is where it's at. What is DNA? Boy, I'll have a lot of people in my workshop tomorrow if you don't know what DNA is. Because we talk about that. Where does it come from? Who made it?
It's in our genes.
Yeah, who put it there?
Yeah, I did.
You did.
What's DNA stand for?
DNA, ribonucleic acid is part of it. Okay. Now, what's the first part? We'll get there. I gave you the last half. I want the first part. Deoxyribonucleic acid is what it is. Okay. DNA is some energy, okay, energies that come and they form a helix of four acids, or two acids and two bases. In other words, if we had the Earth and we had no life here but some protein and we hit it with electricity, boom, out of nowhere we have DNA and guess what? We have life. You can do that in a laboratory, in a science laboratory. You can create life with electricity and protein. Amino acids, boom, form and they become alive. That energy comes from us. God is within us. In divine intervention, the DNA is being played with a lot. Okay? In the Pleiadian teachings, for example, with a nuclear receptor. And we talk about that, and I'll demonstrate that in a minute. We work with energy first, because energy works on the DNA. The DNA, for example, when you're born, before you're born, in the mother's womb, we have 48 base pairs per turn. That means you have 48 base pairs per turn in a 3-foot-long helix, which is made up of about as many atoms and cells, atoms, as the whole number of stars in the galaxy. Okay? When the mother is making this fetus perfect, because the fetus is being built perfect before the moment of birth, there's 48 base pairs per turn. The fetus is separated in the mother by the placentia, and it separates. It purifies the mother's poison and puts it into the baby. Okay? As soon as the baby is born, the DNA, the base pairs per turn, in this case they're telling the cells to get healthy and look like a baby versus an older person, the moment the baby is born, the base pairs are reduced from 48 to 31. 25% of the life of the child is destroyed when it takes its first breath of air on this planet. Okay? This was not always the case. 12,000 years ago in Atlantean times, during the destruction of Poseidon, which left a huge vortex called the Bermuda Triangle, the little guys known as the Greys that are here now interfered with human DNA. There's a lot of that in history if you study it. And that's why during the time of Methuselah, who lived 650 years, to the time of us, we live less than 100, life got short. And that's one of the big pictures that we have to deal with in the negative side of the extraterrestrial. By the time that you're 18 years old, your base pairs per turn are 18. You're 50% dead when you're 18 years old because your body has deteriorated. DHEA, dehydroepiolesterone, and the omega-3, and marine lipids as they're used to substitute for that, your body has that naturally, aren't there anymore. By the time you're 20, you're aging 50% faster than you were when you were 15 or 12. DHEA was discovered in the medical societies. And, of course, the FDA made it totally illegal to take it, although I see it sneaking back onto the health food store through the Mexican yam. See, it's back out. I mean, this is the kind of stuff that you need to know about and how to deal with it. Know about what the Greys did in our past, what they're doing now. You need to know how to negate these effects in the body. Because right now, with this compression that we're having, compression being the growth-resistant generation, those people that are not in this room, those people that are right outside in the hotel lobby that aren't at this show and right out there driving and moving up and down those streets are in a growth-resistant mode. Their auras are contradictory to the planet's aura field, which is poisoning our planet in its relationship to its brother and sister planet in our solar system. And as we get into this mode of what you call a photon belt, which is nothing more than the illumination of light from within, not out there, but from within, we have a higher compression. How many of you now are starting to get dizzy spells and feeling claustrophobic that are in perfect health? You're in perfect health, but you feel dizzy or claustrophobic. Go to a doctor, there's nothing wrong. You never had that 10 years ago. How many of you are feeling that? Okay, just put your hands up. Don't be afraid. That's the beginning. That's the acclimation. One of the things that divine intervention is doing, not only did the Andromedans change some historical events when they came here in 89, but in 93 they began to shift the Earth's current on the magnetic field. So that means when you go to sleep at night, what is supposed to happen when you go to sleep at night? Rest. But what is rest? What happens if you're not allowed to dream at night? What if I wake you up every time your eyes start to twitter? You go crazy. Why? You're not connected on the astral plane. What's on the astral plane? Your brothers and sisters that aren't here now that you already know from past lives. You're not finished. If you can't go home at night where you belong and be with your brothers and sisters or some teacher or an ET or whatever it is you have to be with, you go crazy. You'll fight for that space. And then that space you'll disconnect on this one, and you just make the waters muddy. The Andromedans are working there, okay? They're working there. They're working with the priests that lived during the Inquisition that were bad boys and haven't been punished yet. They're not punishing anybody. They're going to be punished right here. So as a result, you get compression on this plane. You'll find allergies springing up. You'll find dizziness. You'll find a lot of things starting to happen to you, and you'd better deal with it. Because it's not just you that's happening it. The alcoholic, drug-boozing whores out there are also experiencing the same thing. And they're just covering it up with new drugs, more diseases, and all of the other things that go on. Yeah. What do you mean? The life force is in every cell of the body. The heart, the life force that controls comes through the nerves called the autonomic nervous system. The autonomic nervous system is the one that makes you breathe and your heart beat. Okay? That's the one you have to deal with for that. There's three different nervous systems in the body. The autonomic, the sympathetic, and the parasympathetic. The physical, the feeling, and the spiritual. Those three reside in the body. These things work through the carbon atom. That's the power of the pyramid, because the carbon atom is a pyramid shape. There are seven levels of consciousness that we live in. Seven different vibratory frequencies. Just as you hold a prism up into the sun and you see seven colors, those seven colors radiate through the hydrogen atom. They have a sound called the music of the spheres. Stephen Halpern was very expressive of that in a lot of his music, especially one of his first albums that he ever came out with, where he prescribed relaxation for people. That was tuning the hydrogen atom, okay? Because we're made up of oxygen, hydrogen, nitrogen, and carbon. And when you combine these things, you can create an instrument within the body of consciousness that becomes very powerful, and can overcome a lot of toxins and things that go on.
Well, this is fun, isn't it? How would you like a little bit more? We can get a little bit more going here. How'd you like how I might change my voice? I can actually do stuff like that. I can slow it down or I can speed it up. I can do a lot of magic here if you want. Anyhow, let's just continue on with this stuff. I think you'll like it. So I'm jumping right into the next section. Dr. Bell, go. Dr. Bell,
would you need to unfold itself in full living color. The destructive tendencies of this planet are being harnessed rather than the constructive tendencies. And as a result of that, civilization, because of its position in the galaxy right now, is being moved into a higher vibratory moment. And when it's being moved into this higher vibratory moment, our sensitivity to good and bad increases. Now, the Pleiadians came about the same time to our society as did the Greys. They also were, they contacted our government in 1956, but the government was already having a resolution with the Greys made in 1954, so they really weren't interested, because the Pleiadians offered no technology to the government, whereas the Greys offered technology in exchange for human hostages. You realize that one out of four people on a milk carton has probably been abducted by a Grey at some point in time, permanently. These people that have been abducted are brought into slavery, they're used for body parts, they're used for DNA research, they're used for a whole multitude of things. One of the things in the food chain that you can see very clearly is that with the ozone layer being what it is today, it causes the body to receive more ultraviolet. When the body receives more ultraviolet, the proper thing to do is tune the immune system up more into the ultraviolet spectrum. Therefore, you can feed off of the ultraviolet radiation. But instead, what they do is they orchestrate, through biochemistry, a method where they cause problems in the human body. Example, how many of you know what calcium is used for? What's one of the main uses of calcium? Once you stop growing. It's the number one usage of it. Heartbeat. It produces actin. Once you stop growing, calcium is the number one nutrient to keep your heart going, and that's what it's used for. And there's more of that used per day in the body than anything else. What does it take to assimilate calcium into the body? Does anybody know? What's the vitamin it takes? Which one? Vitamin D, which normally comes from where? Sunlight, exactly. Before the ozone changed and different things changed, vitamin D came in 18 international units per one square inch of your body. So without vitamin D, without calcium, you're going to have heart problems, right? Second thing has to do with displacement. How many of you know the difference between a synthetic vitamin and a natural vitamin, what the difference is?
One works, the other doesn't.
Yeah, one works and the other doesn't. Does anybody know why one works and one doesn't? Why? Why do they work? Why does one work and one not work? The reason one works and one doesn't is when the brain fires off synapses in its receptor and effector sites, which are switches in the brain, when these synapses fire off, they produce electrical currents. When these electrical currents are produced,
they send electricity down through three nervous systems, the autonomic, the parasympathetic, and the sympathetic nervous system. These firing off of synapses going through three different central nervous systems cause electricity to flow into every single cell in the body. So therefore, if you were looking at our body, on one level we're biochemical, on another level we're also electrical. In order for these enzymes and hormones and vitamins to be present, they have to be coming into the body. The chemistry to produce a hormone in the body which fires these synapses has to be present. It has to also not only be present, it also has to have electricity in it. And if you were to take a Curlian photograph of a synthetic vitamin, you'd find there's no electricity in it. Whereas if you were to take a Curlian photograph of a natural vitamin, you'd find a life force in it that has electricity. Okay? The life force itself is the next level up, which is called the science of electrical precursation, or the etheric level. It's the electrical precursation level. It's the level where the pyramids and the receptors operate on. So we have the electrical precursation, the electricity, and the biochemistry. So therefore, if you put a synthetic vitamin in your body where there is a natural vitamin present, and chemically it looks the same, what do you think is going to happen when these two vitamins meet, or those nutrients meet electrically? One has an electrical charge on it, the other doesn't. What's going to happen? It's going to discharge the good one, isn't it? Is that not true? Which then is going to cause the aura field to collapse. Now, how many of you in here drink milk or eat butter? Okay. How many of you have noticed that vitamin A and D are plastered all over the labels? Okay. How many of you are aware that this vitamin A and D is synthetic? How many, those of you that drink that milk and live on it and rely on it, will eventually have heart problems. It's very simple. It works real well. It has nothing to do with cholesterol. You can have very high cholesterol levels and never have heart problems. What you have to do is look at HDL and LDL levels, lipoprotein levels in your body, to see how your body is absorbing cholesterol. Because if your body is low in cholesterol, your body might have to manufacture a lot of it just to make the joints lubricate and the heart pump valves work properly. So you need a certain amount of cholesterol. What you want to put in your body is chromium. Chromium is the first thing you want to put in your body to keep your cholesterol levels balanced. Is my slide projector almost here, my table? Hello back there. Is that table almost here? I really need it. So these are the kinds of things that you really need to look at when you start getting into nutrition. And when you first start to get sick, you don't start pouring vitamin C into your body. That's the wrong thing to do. Because a lot of the illnesses that go on around here are viruses created in laboratories in Sandia, New Mexico, and released into the atmosphere of this world. And so what happens when you start cramming vitamin C into your body for an illness, you end up feeding the illness rather than making yourself well. It's almost as bad as taking antibiotics for viral infections, creating super infections. So the whole holistic approach to what's going on in medicine doesn't work anymore unless you begin to understand the real ground rules of how to make things happen. When you start to get sick, the first thing you do is put in your body large amounts of chromium. Does anybody know why? It produces helper T cells. Helper T cells work in the immune system. Anybody that's ever had AIDS and been holistically treated will tell you that the first thing any holistic doctor will that's fighting AIDS will take large amounts of chromium. Then you put vitamin A into your system. Vitamin A is very important because it builds your immune system. Yeah. I take a milligram a day.
Is that the picolate?
The picolate. It's a niacin buffered form of chrome. We make a formula at Paradigm called XL Plus that uses this. It's one of the additions that we use in our formulas. It's very important to have it. Up to 1 milligram. It'll come in micrograms when you buy it. You want to keep that in your system. You want to keep a lot of vitamin A in your system. And then you want to add vitamin C, because you got to steer your system in what area, DNA-wise, you have to steer your system in an area for the healing to take place. You can put nutrients in your body and they'll go to the wrong area. If you're dealing, for example, with hormonal deficiencies, one of the strong areas, the prime areas to deal with is amino acids. But if amino acids don't have the right enzymes present, they won't cross the blood-brain barrier and therefore they won't produce the right hormone compositions. This is when you treat drug addiction, all these kinds of things. You get into the science. In 1971, when the Pleiadians came and they began teaching me science, they weren't teaching me nutrition in those days. They were teaching me pretty much the science of electrical precursation, because I was coming from Rockwell, from NASA, from the Air Force, and I had been, you know, electronics, physics background. I didn't have a strong biochemical background at that time, but I had a strong electronics background, a strong physics background. I'd worked at the University of Michigan back in the late 50s and early 60s before I was in the Air Force. It was interesting to note one of the experiments, or one of the things that we looked at back in those days, was the result of the bomb blasts from Hiroshima and Nagasaki. And what we found was that some people were very close to the bomb blasts in the Hiroshima and the Nagasaki blast when the bomb went off, called Ground Zero, and they suffered no long-term genetic radiation damage. Some others were 30 miles away, 40 miles away, and had vast amounts of genetic damage. From this research, they found that the ones that suffered no genetic damage were the ones that had large amounts of Kotai, ginseng, and Gotu-Kola in their systems. Okay? These are important nutrients. In our vitamin formulas that I formulate, we always put large amounts of that in there. Because when you get up into the brain, these become electrolytes. A comparison would be, you could have a brand new sports car, but without a battery, it wouldn't start. And if you look at the battery, if the battery didn't have electrolytes, the battery wouldn't be any good. So one of the root things that you need are the electrolytes. What causes electrolytes to be depreciated in the brain primarily are smog, automobile exhaust, sulfur dioxide, things like that. There's over 500 chemicals running around this room right now in the atmosphere. So it becomes very important to have electrolytes. Our body is 5% mineral. The 5% mineral controls 95% of all metabolic functions in the body. That's why it's very important to have mineral supplementation. Without mineral supplementation, you might as well forget taking vitamins and enzymes and all the other things that we take, because they're not going to work. Okay? We got into manufacturing minerals when I began to notice that people were starting to falter when they start getting up on the metaphysical levels, or they start working with someone with a parasympathetic nervous network in their brain. I noticed back in the 70s, people getting into meditation, people getting into Tai Chi and all these different Kung Fu and all these different forms of arts that tried to link their body and their minds together, oftentimes couldn't do it properly, and they became spaced out at best rather than coming into a holistic point of view. I started formulating vitamins in those days, minerals into my vitamins, from the Great Salt Lake, because the Great Salt Lake has, you know, salt from the sea, and sea salt is very much like the red blood cell in humans. But the problem with that form of mineral is it's not a living form of mineral. So then we found that a red clay, which is only 2,000 years old, which is very fresh vegetation, in the crystal mines and in Indian reservations, was a high form of especially trace minerals. So we began using that. How many of you in here right now are using trace minerals, just out of curiosity? How many of you have not noticed a tremendous difference in everything by not when you take them? You notice a lot, don't you? It's amazing. They're not exciting. You know, I mean, it's not like the excitement of getting into niacin therapy or getting into vitamin A or vitamin C, the all hyped up vitamins. But these vitamins will work a lot better if you have your minerals proper. Minerals operate on three different vibratory levels. The first mineral frequency is the base mineral. And the base mineral is your iron, your zinc, and your calcium. What these do is they create synaptic firing in the brain levels to produce energy, electricity, for your autonomic nervous system. Your autonomic nervous system is the nerves that makes your heart beat, makes your lungs function, allows your eyes to see, allows you to hear things, those kinds of things, basic functions that you don't think about that are occurring. When you start short-circuiting these minerals and these basic functions from your body, that part of your central nervous system begins to close down, and you start going into all forms of early aging. The second frequency range of minerals is the mid-range, working through the sympathetic nervous system. The sympathetic nervous system is responsible for your feeling, when you're hot, you're cold, your body temperature, sensitivity, these kinds of things. Its center frequency in minerals is chromium, as we mentioned earlier, and it's also the threshold of the immune system. One of the areas of great attack right now by the Grays and by the government on the global depopulation policy is the immune system. If you look back into the 70s, the early attacks, the early genetics that were engineered and brought into our society were the herpes 1, 2, and 3. This later on evolved when they got some ideas, why not cross the cattle bovine virus with the sheep Vishnu virus and introduce a disease that was normally found in the sheep's immune system to a disease normally found in cattle causing pneumonia, and mix the two and find an area where this could grow. And if you ever look at the types of bacteria that's in the anal canal of the body, you'll find this is a perfect area for this type of virus to flourish. So what they did is they looked at some area, some group that would be active in the anal, and this was the homosexual, and in 1978 they injected 2,000 homosexuals with this new serum under a hepatitis B vaccine, and that was the beginning of AIDS in San Francisco. All 2,000 of them died. So then that spread to the far corners of the earth. Africa, South Africa is a real good, if you look at their, how their society behaves over there, you'll find that was a very good area to also introduce it. And so as a result, South Africa, I think 20% of the population now has AIDS. So it's growing very fast. We have, yeah, white population. I don't know. I've got the microphone on here. It's all best I can do. Yeah. So anyway, you begin to see society-wise some of the things that go on. Now what we did, what the Pleiadians began to teach me about as we got into the 80s, we got heavy into nutrition, and we began to work with the immune system. So far, everybody that I think I've worked with, and there's been quite a few people, none of them have ever carried or gotten in contact with, come down with the AIDS virus at all. You might bring it up in your system, but it might also pass through if your system is up, because it has to get a hold of something in there before it starts to work. As the Andromedans came onto the scene in the late 80s and into the 90s, they began to teach us the holographic point of view. And when you get into the holographic point of view, you begin to realize that one heavy, concentrated, accurate sensitivity touch anywhere in the universe affects anywhere else in the universe. But it becomes necessary to become highly disciplined before you start playing around with holographics. Because if you start playing around with the science of holograms in the universe, it's like virtual reality. Virtual reality for society right now is something out of Lawnmower Man, right? It's something on a screen. With the Andromedans, holographic science is virtual reality of life itself. And they are now teaching certain people on this planet this science. When you get into that, we go right down into the DNA. We go right down to the chromosome level. We go right down to the structure of what causes genetic change in humans. We begin to understand it. Now let me see if I can get my slide projector going here now. Is it it sticks. Let me just get this thing pushed down here. Okay. Now is the light coming on? Yeah, it looks like it is. Yeah, it's on. Let's see where it's at now. I'm going to go back over here to it. Oh, it's up on the roof. You guys can see it on the roof up there, okay?
Yeah. I'm chilled back looking at
it. Here we go. Bring it down. Yeah. Yeah. Now what I'm going to do at this point, once I get this thing working here, focused in, other way I think. Yeah, it is all the way out. Yeah. Focus. I guess way out of focus. Here it comes. Yeah. There we go. Yeah. Now, let me just find the slide I want. For a certain slide here. Okay. There we go. It looks complicated and it sounds complicated in the beginning, but when you go through the ABCs of this, and I try to balance those lights so that I can see my board up there in the screen at the same time. So put the front lights back on a little bit. But can, there's no front and back lights? It's all or nothing? It's all or nothing, huh? Right there. Yeah, that'll work. That'll work. Okay, now when we come from minerals, okay, we come into the world of enzymes. In order for minerals or vitamins or anything to go in your body, you have to have the proper enzyme balance, which is called the pH factor. Does anybody know what pH stands for? Potential hydrogen. So could somebody go on beyond that? Okay, beyond that, you have to look at what we're made of, okay? First of all, we're made up of carbon, which is a pyramid-shaped molecule. Then we're made up of hydrogen, oxygen, nitrogen, okay? Hydrogen is a proton and an electron. And it becomes very important because we're talking here about fusion on the sun and starlight, how it's produced, and we're talking about the life force coming into this planet. And it becomes very important to understand the pH factor. The pH factor also has a lot to do with chakras. How many of you have heard of different colors of your chakras? How many of you have seen the argument, oh, this color, that color, okay? Because people don't think in a dynamic form. People teach and think in a static form. And when you teach and think in a static form, nothing makes any sense. And you have lots of arguments. Even science now in orthodox laboratories is starting to realize that the thought process of the, especially in subatomic physics, they're realizing that where your head is at during a particular experiment has to do with the outcome of the experiment. More work is going on in separating particles coming in from the fourth dimension now than ever before. So what happens is, obviously, the proton and the electron, which the hydrogen atom is made up of, contains the life force. The life force comes down from the fourth dimension. We have seven planes of consciousness, okay? We have the physical plane, which has seven sublevels on it. The seven sublevels are your solid, liquid, gas, ionic, and three etheric states. Mass consciousness is the first thing in a society that has to do with the way the experiment is going to behave in a laboratory. 100 years ago, if you had had the same laboratories and the same equipment, the experiment would have behaved a lot different with a thinking process than it would today with the thinking process of the experimenter. There's several reasons for this. First of all, when you start thinking and understanding about the holographic side of the universe, you need to understand there is a change and what the nature of the change is. Then when you understand what the nature of the change is, then you can go in and dance with the changes. If, for example, this was a bunch of cavemen in here, and this was 5,000 years in the Cro-Magnon era, right? And we talked about solid, liquid, and gas. As soon as we get up to gas, there would be cries of astoundment. People would say, gas? What's a gas? So what we'd have to do then, because our society has never heard of gas, is we'd have to go out to the stream, which we knew about, and grab some water and put it in a pan, which would be solid, take some wood, which would be a solid, and start heating the water, and then boiling the water into steam. And now as the steam went through the room, suddenly we'd realize, as a mass group in consciousness, there's gas, okay? So this is the integrity of the masses, the mass thought form of the masses. This is where you start interweaving into a fabric known as time and the exchange rate of spirit and matter, which gives us motion through time. Time can be looked at as a comet. There's always something in the universe that is present that explains some phenomenon that we would understand. If you look at a comet, you see the front of the comet, right? Where the mass is. That's the present. If you look at a comet, you see the tail. That's the past. And you see the void that the comet is going into. That's the future. Now, where's this comet going to go? Well, it might have a regular orbit that it goes through, like Halley's Comet. But what if somewhere along that orbit, a star decided to supernova and change the specific gravity of the orbit? Then the comet would change its path. Same thing in the course of human events, in this substance of the reality of this illusion that we're in now. It all is determined by several different things that are going on in the present. First thing you've got to realize, there is no future. Future doesn't exist. From 1 second ahead of where we are now, there is no future. And if you could go into the future, you wouldn't see anything but blackness. There is the astral plane, which is the next level of consciousness, where lots of things are happening because it's a series of probabilities. It's a place where people that were living here in physical bodies have gone from these bodies and now exist. But it's not the physical plane, because being here now in the reality is being here now in the time in the physical plane. So you got to start to understand the next plane of consciousness. The next plane beyond that, the thought plane, whether it's two higher and two lower levels, the mental plane, the Buddhic plane, the ethnic, Vedantic, and Logoic plane. Each one of those seven planes is a consciousness. Each one of those seven planes is a color. Each one of those seven planes is a sound. Each one of those seven planes has biochemical characteristics. So you begin to think of the color seven, the number seven, as an energy. And when you harness all of that consciousness, you've got to anchor it into the human body, and that's what the hydrogen atom does. The hydrogen atom brings that down in seven rays and vibrates into the human body. It directs all biochemical activity in the body, and all biochemical activity is getting energy and consciousness from the higher planes. That's the hydrogen atom. Now, the hydrogen atom has a polarity to it. It's just not a random atom. The polarity has to do with timing. Timing is very critical. I'll give you an example of some timing here. Here's a little bit of timing. And consciousness. The moon goes around the Earth, right? 2,300 miles an hour. You have 15 days of full moon. You have 15 days of new moon. On days, you ever have days where everything you try to do, regardless of how perfectly you do it, everything still turns out like shit, you know? And other times you try to get something done and you try to screw it up, it comes together perfectly, right? Well, that what you have, you'll find, if you look at those cycles, you'll find that you're working within the new moon time cycle. You'll also find that the new moon affects water. Water being the tides never came on any 2 days. They're always different. And when the water changes on your body, when the tide changes on your body by the pressures of the moon, so does your entire chakra system change. Your entire consciousness system changes every day. So you learn to work with Pleiadian science within the full moon and the new moon. And you separate these two. And you
I think we have a chipmunk here.
If you're trying to initiate
once in a while we get a chipmunk,
plane,
but we're almost at the end of this,
moon.
So let the chipmunk take over here.
On the full moon, because it'll pretty much...
This is the end of side one. Fast forward to the end and turn the tape over to side two to continue.
Well, I hope you enjoyed that, including the chipmunk. We'll do side two next week. And I hope you enjoyed Dr. Fred Bell's Health, Science, and Energy show. And thank you down there in Florida, 1340 Tantalk, for making us the voice of Tampa Bay. Until next week, aloha and mahalo. Vaya con Dios. Scrammo.